Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Nuance Needed podcast. I'm Amanda.
And I'm Sam.
And we are excited today because we're doing something a little unique in our structure where Sam and I have not talked about what we're going to talk about before. No. We don't know each other's beliefs around it.
Mm-mm. The last time we were recording, we did a debrief about what we were going to do for the next one.
Yeah.
And this topic came up. And the wonderful thing about our friendship is that the second something comes up, we both have so many opinions.
Yes.
And ideas. And we immediately share it with each other. And I think it was you that was immediately like, don't tell me. Like, let's make it a surprise. So drum roll. The topic is, Amanda.
Manifesting.
Manifesting.
What we think of manifesting.
What we think of manifesting.
I don't like manifesting. I think that someone asked me the other day on Instagram in like a Q&A box, like, what do you think about like spirituality and astrology, which could be another topic at some point.
Yeah.
And I think my issue with it, and I know they're different from manifesting, but they often get grouped together among like coaches, spiritual people, self-help books, right? It all – it's not that Mel Robbins is talking about this, but sometimes like there are more like self-help gurus who tap into spirituality, which is great. I mean, I remember reading The Four Agreements like by Michael Ruiz. Incredible. I loved the book Untethered Soul, especially when I was in AA and yoga. Like I did yoga teacher training. I was a yoga teacher. I got very into spirituality. I was in AA, so I needed to kind of create my own
higher
sense
power
of spirituality. And I loved it, and it was extremely helpful for me. And I think I've gotten – I wasn't ever super into manifesting though, but I think I've gotten a lot more disillusioned with it because I've seen the way that people – spiritually bypass people with, right, negative, you know, if something negative is happening to someone. And I get really, really triggered by the manifesting coaches online that are like, you know, if this is happening to you, you're just not manifesting right enough or hard enough or, you know, believing in it enough. Especially it's super gross to me when the manifesting coaches are like, I manifested my house and you know, you can have whatever you want. And if you don't have the life you want, it's because you're not doing it right and you need to, you know, buy my course. So, yeah, those are my high level thoughts. What do you think?
I actually.
Yeah. Tell me.
Okay. So, I think what makes my relationship to it complicated is my religious background.
That's what I was thinking, is I wonder if it feels different to you.
It feels because I was someone that was very much raised on prayer.
Yes.
My parents are still very prayerful.
Yeah.
I myself, even through like my deconstruction work, have kind of maintained really wanting a spiritual connection still, that I do find myself to be a spiritual person in that I believe in there's something greater than this. Like, I believe there is an afterlife. I have no idea what it is, but like I don't believe this earth is our end. And so I was raised in kind of this environment of like, you're actively speaking to the sky, asking for what you want, asking for what you need, and believing that it's going to be given to you.
Yeah.
And I think what is particularly insane is that I've had times, many, many times in my life where I've been prayerful or thoughtful or intentional about asking for things or asking for help for things, and things happen.
Yeah. Have you had the opposite happen though?
Yes.
Okay. Because, I'm going to ask you a question later. But yeah, because that is like my beef is it's hard when like sometimes you do the right thing and things don't. I mean, I guess you can be like, right, your higher power has a – everything happens for a reason. But yeah, continue.
So I think what actually took me – why my deconstruction journey has been – kind of as long and convoluted and like slog-like as it's been is because I do have this very powerful spiritual element in mm-hmm. my life that I'm kind of like, but there's something there, at least to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
In my perspective, there's something. So is it me? Is it, you know, the whole thing. However, what I don't like about the social media manifesting vibe, and I yes. think if we separate manifesting from spirituality, which I know some of the content creators that I've seen would be like, but you can't because that's all source and it's all everything, which like, well, no. But I think my issue with manifesting is, yes, it's devoid of explaining the work and the effort that you need mm-hmm. to put into getting the things that you want mm-hmm. and what you want to do. And it is this idea of like the only thing holding you back is your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Which, to a point, is correct.
Yeah.
You have to believe that you are at least, like, half decent at something to go after doing something, right? Or making a decision or making a change, whatever. What I don't like is when it becomes, like, you are the only thing in your way.
Yes.
You are the only thing stopping you. It's like, that is so devoid of real life.
Yeah.
And circumstances and situations and social, cultural factors that are at play, financial factors that are at play, you know, generational trauma, like the down to like the location of where you live.
Yeah.
And like your access to information and what you know and what you don't know and being willing to acknowledge that you don't know what you don't know, right? Yeah. And so it plays off of the marketing behind it, mm-hmm. which is what it is.
Yeah.
Plays off of people's like deepest fears and insecurities that they are deeply unhappy with where they're at in their life.
Yeah.
And yes, there is an element of responsibility and accountability that comes with changing your life. You and I talk about this constantly. Mm-hmm. That is that element of authenticity and accountability are both of those are huge values to me personally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And to not acknowledge the individual, unique, nuanced circumstances of your life mm-hmm. is the deepest form of self-betrayal mm-hmm. that you could extend to yourself in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
This like denial of the fact that, no, there are some factors at play that are going to hinder you, mm-hmm. that are going to make things more difficult, that might in some ways make things unattainable at times.
Yeah.
And so I kind of have like this war between me a little bit where I think there are elements of it that are true. I think there are some things that I practice. I can get a little woo-woo, but I also really struggle with like the marketing and the business element of it.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think one thing that I really struggle with, and this has flared up in me more since, and we'll, you know, I'm not going to get into it. We'll do an episode probably about it at some point, but my mom was recently diagnosed with cancer. And I think that obviously Sam knows this, so it's not a surprise to her when she's not.
This is not breaking news.
But right, like I get really caught up, and I used to do this a lot. I remember when I was like in high school and I was like desperately trying to get into the college I wanted to get into where I would do like magical thinking.
Yeah.
Right? Where it's like, if a door is open, I'm gonna get into college, right?
Yeah,
if it's not.
Yeah.
Or if, you know, I don't know. I have this many notifications on my phone, or if I can, whatever it is, like dumb little innocuous things feel like like you start to look for signs, and then it can be a slippery slope into magical thinking of feeling like, well, and that's where like the prayer versus magical thinking gets a little messy for me, because it's like, when I was younger, really was like, okay, if I'm a good enough girl, if I do everything right, if I get good grades, if I'm, you know, perfect enough and do all the, if I lose weight, whatever it is, like then I will get what I want. And that was how I would like motivate myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then I didn't, right? Because life doesn't always work out. But right, especially I ended up with like an eating disorder and a bunch of other things that really didn't work out for me for a while. I think that messed up sort of this internal value system I created that I had to deconstruct in recovery. But now I feel myself slipping back of like, even if I think something Like, I used to be very judgmental of my thoughts, and something that was really transformative when I got into recovery was recognizing that my thoughts don't – like, I can have intrusive thoughts. Like, I can think random things, right? I can think – I can have an image pop into my head of wanting to punch someone, and that doesn't mean I'm an asshole. Where I used to, like, shame myself for, you know, impulsive or intrusive thoughts. And what I've noticed in the past, like, month is just – if I have a slight random negative thought about my mom, for example, even though, like, obviously that's not how I feel, I, like, I'm like, oh my God, no, 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 I didn't mean it, universe, like, take it, like, I didn't mean that, I didn't, and I, like, get caught up in it. And it is, that's where, like, the manifestation stuff gets really murky for me, is just, like, I am someone who has anxiety and probably skews on the, I don't have OCD, but I skew on the more
– like superstitious.
Yeah, like vibe. Intrusive thoughty when my mental health isn't good thing, right?
Yeah.
And that's – yeah, that's what I've noticed popped up lately. So, yeah, I'm curious for you as someone who is or was prayerful, has prayed and had things worked out, has probably prayed and not had things work out, has been around people who've prayed and probably said all of their success is 100% attributed to their – you know,
oh my God,
godliness.
Yeah.
How do you navigate all that?
I think sometimes when I post about last year, 2024.
Yeah.
I bet some people see, like, the way I explain it and they're a little like, girl, what was happening to you? Why was this so, like, earth shattering? I mean, I hope I get a little bit of grace that when your dad or parent, as you know, is diagnosed with cancer. Rocks your whole world.
Yeah.
I also recognize I've been talking about this a lot on the pod and have given zero explanation. I have a brother with severe disabilities. And so I was at times helping to take on caring for him. I was deeply concerned about my parents continuing to take care of him when I wasn't there. My mom was having her own health issues. I was trying to be supportive of my sister who was still – she's a professional golfer and she was going through her season and – there was, like, so much going on, but internally what was going on was when – so my dad was very first diagnosed with cancer in September of 2023. And it was – at the time, it was kind of more mild. They were like, oh, it's just in the nose. He's going to do radiation. It'll be fine. As a family, we were very prayerful. My dad very much relied on – like a lot of religious practices that we lean on in those moments and rituals and different things. And I really had this belief in my mind that it would be okay because of that. And also I kind of had like, and this is like total trauma, like around my brother, I kind of had this like very spiritual belief that because my family has sacrificed so much to care for my brother. And because we've put out so much karma into the universe in that way that we would be rewarded. And when it came back with a vengeance and we did not know really what the outcome was. We didn't know if he was going to respond to treatment. We didn't know anything. It was just, it's in his lung. It's in his nose. He's going to lose most of his mouth. He's going to need a prosthetic, like whole thing. That like cracked open like my spiritual doubts. And I went to like a really dark internal place of like, well, so this must mean like nothing's true. And went to this, what I'm sure some people would say is like extreme response. But I went through this like huge internal war of like, I don't believe any of this. I believe all of it. All of this is a joke. Like, I hate God. I think God is an evil being. Like, I think I was going so far as to be like, in my mind, like, I think like what's really happened is Earth has been hijacked by like an evil God and we have to, we don't know who to pray to because like he's so sick and twisted and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, all of like the anger and the rage that I had. About everything that my family was going through and that we have gone through with my brother for a long, long time. All of that rage was coming to the surface and it manifested in this like anger and bitterness towards like my higher power. And that was like the first 6 months of the year. And once my dad slowly started responding to his immunotherapy treatment,
yeah,
I was able to kind of like come back down to earth.
Yeah.
But, and like have a more like level-headed assessment of where mm-hmm. I'm at and what I feel and what all that meant to me. Mm-hmm. But so I remember fall of 2023.
Yeah.
Like actively being like, oh, like I'm, you know, we're praying and we're asking for it and we've done good things. And so like that means we're going to be okay. And the interesting thing is like I'm a highly educated, at the time, 33-year-old.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm still sitting here yeah. like, no, like this is going to be totally fine.
Yeah.
Now that looking back, that's more like denial yeah. than anything. But that's why it was like really, really intense internally that I was kind of questioning like this whole mm-hmm. belief system that I had ever had.
Yeah.
Including this element of spirituality and asking for help and mm-hmm. not getting it. And it was confusing and yeah. overwhelming. So I don't know if that answered your question.
Well, how did you get out of it? Like what, how, I know you said you kind of like came back down to earth yeah. after it and stuff. What do you, because it must be hard given what the, you know, yeah. shred, right? I probably know 1% of the Mormon culture compared yeah. to you. Right? Like the whole idea of, I think it's very clear with Mormonism that they talk mm-hmm. a lot about how, right, Mormons are so successful, like yes. financially and right. everything, right? Because they are because the true believers or whatever you call it and stuff like that. So how, like, it must have been a lot to also, because I know you were unpacking and like deconstructing before then, but it yeah. must have really like accelerated your mm-hmm. deconstruction journey.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think what was interesting is while I was like having an absolute come apart in my brain, yeah. my dad completely relied on his spirituality yeah. to get through.
Yeah.
And was very calm and very put together and just like, no, like I trust in whatever this process is. And
yeah.
he's like, I believe and I feel that my, you know, time is not done. And
yeah.
I'm okay and I trust, and you know, if I have to go through the blah blah blah, and I would just be like, what do you mean? Like, yeah. it doesn't make sense. But I think I think it was finally a vehicle, this very like aggressive external vehicle that allowed me to experience a lot of the anger and rage that I had towards my religion. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In a lot of the ways that it had harmed me and disappointed me and not been what I thought it was.
Yeah.
But then in a weird way, when I came, like, I would say probably a month or two, like, before I moved, mm-hmm. when you were kind of in that, well, I was in that, like, in-between space where I knew there was this big thing coming, but life was pretty chill because yep. nothing was changing because the change hadn't come yet, right?
Yeah.
I was doing like a lot of thinking and being reflective of the year. And what yeah. I realized was like my dad's sense of spirituality had strengthened my own spirituality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And kind of this idea in trusting the ride and the process. Mm-hmm. And there's actually a lot of ways, like looking back, the way things happened ended up working out in my dad's favor.
Mm-hmm.
Like the cancer was in the exact right space that they could just take it out and be yeah. done with it. They caught his lung really early and,
yeah.
you know, he was able to go into early retirement and he yeah. has these wonderful benefits and my family is okay. And so I think when, because we were, you know, lucky enough to have a somewhat positive outcome. Mm-hmm. I mean, his cancer's still there.
Yeah.
Like he's still considered stage four.
Yeah.
We are at the mercy of the immunotherapy continuing yeah. to work. But when everything was calm, I was able to be like, oh, I actually deeply believe in the spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like my organized religion.
Mm. That makes sense.
And I felt like that reflection was able to allow me to like separate the two
yeah.
formally.
Yeah.
I always knew they were separate things,
yeah.
but to be able to like have a firm divide for myself
yeah.
made a huge difference. And so I feel like now sitting in this moment, when I think of like a concept of like manifesting,
yeah,
I have a much more grounded belief in what it means.
Yeah. What is your grounded belief?
My grounded belief is that I am going to throw up some prayers, throw up some really intentional thought, spend some time like really processing and getting clear on where I want to go or what it is that I want. And then my job is to be taking daily concerted action to work towards those things.
I mean, I think that is the only way you can really say.
Yeah.
And it like, I mean, people can do whatever they want, but that makes a lot of sense to me as like, right, you could also do that and not call it manifesting, right? You could call it like
prayer,
getting, or like getting clear on your values and taking action that's in alignment with your values. You could call it setting goals. Like you could call it a lot of other things.
Yeah. So for me, I'm – when I see the posts about like, you know, the manifesting and I manifested this life and I did all this and you can do it too and the only thing holding you back is you. It's like anything. It's really nice and I think there's like a kernel of truth to it depending on the situation. Yeah. But also it's just devoid of any like real effort that is required to actually build a life that you want.
Yeah.
And for me, a lot of the goals that I've had have taken a long time to get to. I'm still not fully where I want to be. I'm definitely a heck of a lot farther than I was. But that's because I've just spent a bunch of time being like stupidly committed to the idea of where I want to go and pivoting, like just constantly pivoting and adjusting and changing and adapting and never stopping.
Yeah.
And so I think this manifesting thing can very easily spill into this idea of like goals and purpose and just like you said, values and choosing over time as you develop and change and grow and do different things, like what really is the type of life that you're going after?
Yeah.
Like what do you really want out of life? Yeah. If someone says like, I want freedom. Okay, well, what does freedom really mean?
Yeah.
Because freedom isn't necessarily, you know, $10 million falling out of the sky.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it freedom in your relationships? Is it freedom to be a stay-at-home mom? Is it freedom to, you know, buy whatever you want? I don't know. Like what's coming up for you with that?
I think what's frustrating to me for myself is I wish I was more spiritual right now because I could sure use it. But I feel so disingenuous. It feels like lying to myself. And I think it's just because I've been in this like back-to-back difficulty where I feel like I haven't gotten a break in the past like 2 years with like my birth trauma and, you know, hurricanes and now like my mom and everything like that. And there have been a lot of like not worst case scenarios, but like since she's been diagnosed, she has pancreatic cancer and there's been a lot of like not good luck things that have happened. Like she has the worst type of pancreatic cancer and then out of the worst type of pancreatic cancer, it's called adenocarcinoma. There's two different types. One of them is extremely rare. It's like adenosquamous. And that is the more aggressive of the already aggressive type. So there's just been like a lot of things it's felt like that keep not, you know, I have a little bit of hope and then keep not going that way.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm just like, you look for power, you look for trying to feel like, you know, I am in control of something kind of, you know, and I don't want to fall back into being like, it's my fault that I'm not praying, right? Or manifesting this or whatever, because I think for me that gets to be a slippery slope of blaming myself and, and all of that.
Right.
And I think that's my issue maybe is that I, because of at least the way my brain works, maybe I don't feel like I have a healthy, like it was very, when I was sober and I didn't have a lot to lose, right? Because I was like 25 and life was going up because of how, like, you know, everything
that was,
going.
The only direction you could
go. Yes, exactly. Like that, you know, it was easy to feel like everything happens for a reason and feel like, you know, my higher power like had me go through all this stuff to become a therapist, to help other people.
Yeah.
And I think it's harder now with just, And I have experienced a lot of success in my life, and I have a ton of privilege. I'm not saying that's not the case. It just, yeah, I think that that's where I go so quickly into magical thinking and beating mm-hmm. myself up. I don't mm-hmm. know how to have a spiritual practice or even pray really without it becoming magical thinking, I think.
Or kind of putting this pressure that because I asked for it, that means it has to go well in yes. some form.
Or if it doesn't go well, it is like my fault yes. in some way.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that's like a good thing for people to know sort of with, you know, I think especially if you have OCD for sure, manifesting can be really slippery and stuff like that. But yeah, I don't know. Like I don't. It would be really nice to believe in something spiritual, considering my mom's going to probably die soon. But I'm not there yet. And I don't know if I'll be there. And this is like probably so offensive to say to so many people, but I don't mean it. But like for myself, it just feels like lying. It feels like I'm envious of people who believe because I think that must be so comforting. But for me specifically, it feels like I'm trying to trick myself into believing something isn't true. But, you know, I also am a believer in like you can believe things that help you, like, right, whether they're 100% true or anyone knows or not. It just feels like I'm at least not there yet. And I just have a lot of I get very triggered by like church and institutions and stuff like that. Yeah. And even in AA, like I was told I had to believe in a higher power, which like triggered me a lot and why I like used yoga and stuff. But that is what has come up for me. We wanted to share really quickly that we have officially launched a Substack.
It's called Nuance Needed. We got really creative with the title. But yeah, we're just going to be posting all of our behind the scenes stuff there. We're going to have bonus episodes. I'm doing a lot of my longer pep talks on there, at least 2 a month.
Yeah, we already have a pep talk up. We have a bonus episode. Yeah. And you also don't have to pay, like you can pay to get that extra content, but we also are excited to just create community with you all. And we've gotten into really cool discussions with listeners based on what they think. So we'd love to chat with you more.
Yeah, we know people are really lonely right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, something that we really have always, Amanda and I have both always dreamed about doing is having more of a community, a community of like-minded people where we can chat about things in depth and really get curious about what things mean and how we can apply it to ourselves individually. And that is really what we want our Substack to be. And us sharing the information and the tools and the insights that you guys need in order to be able to have those more nuanced, educated conversations.
Absolutely. So join us at nuanceneeded.substack.com. And we'd love to see you there.
Is this making you, and you do not have to answer this, but I think in hearing what you're talking about, is it more like not even just necessarily that your mom is sick? Is it kind of about the larger, like, what is the purpose? What is the meaning? Where do we go in anywhere? Like, does anything even happen kind of thing?
Yeah. I mean, I think I've been like avoiding that question, obviously, for a while, and having a parent have a life, you know, no matter what happens, like, it makes you think about that. I thought about that a bit when, you know, my daughter and I had our, you know, the birth trauma and everything we went to, but we came out scot-free. Like it was terrible, but we don't have any permanent damage from it, which is like a miracle and can make you be like, oh my gosh, you know, things are working out. It's okay. I went through this hard thing, but it's okay. Mm-hmm. And it just, I don't know. I think I've been through difficult things, but there's always seemed like a way it can turn around, but it feels very finite with like my mom is gonna die and like I mean obviously there could still be a miracle, you know, she could live
longer
expected. But like I don't know. I think that's the part where I'm just like, there is a finiteness to this. And people have been through – people are go through yeah. – I mean, people go through worse things for sure. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, that's sort of – I don't know if that answers your question. That's sort of where I am.
The one response that I would have yeah. to that, because please. I remember
yeah.
being in that space, in that mental headspace, and the anger and the bitterness, and seeing other people who have healthy parents and just yes. wanting to like lose your absolute
I know.
Shit.
I like search people who have parents and people who don't. Like, yeah. It's so unfair.
Yeah. It's infuriating. And you just run through this list of questions of like, well, what about me?
Yeah.
Like why do they get that?
But you actually, now that I'm thinking about this, I'm like, you might be a really good person to also like talk to about this, because mm-hmm. your brother is like, he is not going to ever.
No.
So like that is sort of, he's not, I don't know if you would call it terminal, but he is never going to.
No. Well, for me, that added, yeah. when my dad was sick, what added the layer to it was thinking of him leaving,
yeah.
meaning my dad dying, and how my whole life would essentially stop.
Yeah.
Because my mom could not do that yeah. alone. Nobody yeah. should do that alone.
Yeah.
And I knew that if it came to that, I was going to have to move there
yeah.
and assist with being a full-time caregiver until we could figure out like what we were going to do.
Yeah.
And I remember at the time like going in this panic, because I'm like, oh my God, like I was feeling prompted to move. Is this why I was feeling prompted to move? Because my whole life is going to end. And that means like, I'm going to have to go take care of my brother. And I am really going to die alone because yeah. Yeah. who wants to be with someone that's like a full-time caregiver? And blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Like, you know, all of those yeah. thoughts that aren't based in truth or fact,
yeah.
but very real.
Yeah.
And very valid given the situation yeah. of what was going on. And so, you know, kind of speaking to your idea of like, not kind of all of this doubt and mm-hmm. this very heavy doubt about everything that's happening.
Yep.
That's grief.
Yeah.
That's grief.
Yeah.
And I found myself stuck in the anger phase for a really long time.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what to do with it. I didn't know what to do about it. And right now it's suspended.
Yeah.
Because my dad is responding to treatment.
Yeah.
I don't know what will happen yeah. the day we get, you know, I don't know. I don't know what will happen. I don't know how much time we have. I don't know what that's going to look like. He's doing well now. And that's the space I have to live in.
But it must have been very hard growing up with your brother that yes. way, because it dramatically impacted your life. Yeah, and I'm sure yeah. you spent your whole life looking at other people's families and feeling yeah. like, why I wish my brother was like their sibling.
Yeah. I would watch my friends have like chill dinners with their families. Yeah. We didn't have that.
Yeah.
My brother would like walk around the table and take people's food and like eat, you know, from his hands yeah. and, you know, or like when friends would come over, I would get so embarrassed at the way he would behave sometimes. Yeah. And just this like acute knowing that I was different.
Yeah.
My situation was different.
Yeah.
And knowing that there was nothing that could be done to change. There was no medicine, there was no therapy, there was no treatment, there was no nothing that could change what he was and who he is.
Yeah.
Which again, like sounds horrible to say. None of this kid's fault. Like
right.
he didn't choose this. It just happened.
Yeah.
And, you know, I would do anything for him.
Yeah.
And I would protect him with my life. And I remember I would have been probably like seven, probably on the age of seven. And there was like a gym that my mom went to, and she would like mm-hmm. put us in like the daycare.
Yeah.
And the daycare workers like didn't have a lot of patience with him.
Yeah.
And they were probably teenagers. Like they didn't know what the fuck to do.
Yeah.
But I was so mad at them. I went in the bathroom just on the soap dispenser. Yeah. I just hit the soap dispenser on the floor because yeah. I knew they were going to have to clean it up. Mm-hmm. And I went in and I was like, the soap spilled.
Mm-hmm.
And that like got them away from him.
Yeah.
And so like from that yeah. young age, like I knew like I had to, he was going to take more work.
Yeah.
Than like the average sibling would.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, like it never changed and it's been the same and it's been hard.
Yeah.
It is so hard. It's taken a toll on every single one of us in the family, my mom, my dad, me, my sister.
Yeah.
And there's so much we've sacrificed and we have so many things that we would love to do as a family that we can't. We can't take vacations together. Yeah. He can't go on a plane.
Yeah.
He's okay on drives, but even now, like that,
he
can't really drive long distances anymore. And it's what really like did me in was like the added strain and stress of my dad's cancer on top of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And like, I appreciate you bringing up like all of that context, because again, I think some people might look at when I talk about this and kind of be like, well, people go through that every day.
Yeah.
And it's like, it was complicated.
Yeah.
It was complicated and it was layered. And so I really, when you were speaking and what you were saying, like I can empathize so deeply.
Yeah.
Because there's like a rage.
Mm-hmm.
Like when it feels like everything has just been wrong and it feels like nothing has really added up or made sense, but it's been just okay enough that you're able to like duct tape your way through it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it feels like this thing happens that just like shatters that.
Yeah.
And you feel like you are just left naked in a busy street and everybody is staring at you, but nobody can help you.
Yeah.
And it's so overwhelming and it's so much. And all I can say is I have absolutely zero answers. I don't know any of it. But I can tell you something that has helped me is a belief that when I look back on my life and be reflective, every single hard garbage thing that has happened to me has had some form of a good.
Mm-hmm.
On the other side of it. And I know for me with my parents, it's brought me closer to them.
Mm-hmm.
It's brought my parents closer.
Yeah.
It's, we speak so honestly and open with each other. And there's like an emotional vulnerability and intimacy that the four of us have that I think a lot of families don't have. You know, I've stopped trying to ask for it to get better.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
And I more spent time focusing on what can I do to make this have meaning for me?
Yeah.
Like, how do I make this work for me?
Yeah.
It's garbage. It's awful. It's not fair. And it's my life.
Yeah.
And that I've really like leaned into the idea of like radical acceptance.
Yeah.
And that there's nothing I can do to change it. I have to live it.
Yeah.
And I don't want my whole life to just feel like I'm being met with like a bulldozer every day. Like,
yeah,
I still want to laugh. I still want to have joy. Mm-hmm. I still want to do things I like. I still want to create memories and have moments and have meaning, because every single day, as stupid as it is, the sun comes up.
Mm-hmm.
And when my dad dies or when your mom dies, the sun will come up the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And it will be the worst sunrise of our lives. And then the next day it'll happen again.
Mm-hmm.
And then it'll happen again.
Mm-hmm.
And I think now the skill that I want to develop for that inevitable moment is how do I take care of my internal world in that way?
I really like one thing that I do agree with you. I think it is in the moment, and it's never anything I say to anyone.
You should
be happy because it'll make you stronger, right?
Right.
But I do believe the things that I've gone through have changed me for the better. And if nothing else, you know, when your mom has cancer, a lot of other things become less important, and you do sort of develop a little bit thicker of a skin, which I never thought would be possible for myself. And I also have found it very helpful to think about, well, you know, how do I want to remember this? How will I be able to live with myself, sort of, right? Of I need to be able to look back after this happened and know that I spent, you know, as much quality time with her as I could, and that I showed up for her in a way that was meaningful, and I spent time with her and things like that, which has been helpful. I think I have to be careful to not fall into perfectionism.
Absolutely.
Of like driving myself insane, of, you know, saying yes to everything and not, you know, yeah. I think you reminded me with what you were saying is also like I do have to take care of myself a bit also. And I think that's what's hard. It's just wild. I'm interested in your reflection on this of like, it's just wild. I think when something happens with your parents, how much like all of your family dynamic stuff and your childhood stuff gets like so reactivated again, which was not something that I was necessarily expecting. Like it's wild how, right, like old, you just fall into your family roles that maybe haven't been as strong when something like this happens.
Mm-hmm. I had to really embrace my, and my family kind of teases me for it now, mm-hmm. because something that I really had to do was like start speaking very honestly to what I was feeling.
Yeah.
And so like I would tell my parents, I'd be like, well, I'm going to do this, but I'm not happy about it. And I'm sick of being a caregiver. And I'm like, right. And I had to have that release of acknowledging that, like, I don't like that I have to do this, but at the same time, I'm honored to be able to.
Yeah.
And that's a weird space to occupy. And, you know, I've been much more honest with my family about, like, the strain of my job.
Yeah.
In addition to everything else.
Yeah.
And, like, to ask them to hold a little bit more space for that, mm-hmm. in addition to what they're going through, mm-hmm. and to have some patience that maybe when you call me at the end of the day, I'm not super chipper or peppy,
yeah.
or, you know, like I'm a little down, but it's nothing to do with you. It's just because my brain is melted.
Yeah.
I've been listening intently all day.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, yeah, kind of going back to your point of like, how do I like take care of myself through this, or how do I be aware of like that role that I'm like immediately falling back into?
Yeah.
You know, it is practicing that awareness and then doing the opposite of what old you would have done.
Yeah.
And you know this even better than me, having gone through, you know, addiction recovery.
Yeah.
Going through a season of life like this requires such a different level of self-awareness.
Yeah.
And that's almost like part of what you grieve, mm-hmm. is the ability to just wake up every day and be dumb, and to not have to think of like depth and complexity and heavy emotion and how you're going to manage all of it, right? Like these seasons of life feel so emotionally oppressive and heavy.
Yeah.
And it is vital that you are still carving out time for you, mm-hmm. and that you allow for moments of normalcy,
yeah,
and moments of calm, because it doesn't serve you to just sit, mm-hmm. in the misery. And I think some people think the situation demands that, mm-hmm. right? Like, well, this person that I love and adore and is everything to me is going through this, so I have to suffer equally.
Yeah, yeah.
And one, they don't want that.
Yeah.
Two, you are of no use to them.
Yeah.
If you are just laying down and dying every day. Mm-hmm. And if my role as the healthy person is to, and I think this is for any illness, this is for any emotional struggle. This is if you have someone in your life that is grieving or someone that is sick, right?
Yeah.
If I am the healthy one, mm-hmm. my role is to caretake.
Yeah.
That is community.
Yeah.
That is community and caring for people, is that it is inconvenient to show up for people.
Yeah.
It is inconvenient to be there. Yeah. And I can be honest about my emotion and my reality about it, because that is what helps me avoid resentment, mm-hmm. right? To be honest and open and communicative about how I feel is how I have nurtured myself in a different way, mm-hmm. while also recognizing like, of course I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
Like I remember a therapist I had at the time was like, well, like, do you want to go home?
Yeah.
And that like sent me over the edge, because I was like, the cruelty And me being like, hi, mom and dad and Alex, yeah. you're going through the darkest
right.
season of your life. I cannot be bothered to come home and help. Like, yeah. that is just such a silly, silly thing
mm-hmm.
that I would never in a million years think of doing.
Yeah.
And I also know from my parents, I'm very lucky that when they ask me for help, it's because they are drowning.
Yeah.
And so I was able to like sit with my grief and my frustration and my anger about it while also saying, no, I'm still going to do it.
Yeah.
I'm yeah. still going to show up.
Yeah.
I
think that's an important distinction. How do your parents respond to you saying like being like, this is really tough, but you're doing it anyway?
They're good.
They're good.
They're good about it. They kind of tease me about it.
Yeah. I think that's good. I think that's abnormal in families. And a lot of times if you are doing something and you express frustration yeah. or an emotion that isn't yeah. positive about doing something, there's frustration about it. People are like, you need to – don't do it that right. Like I right. think we need to be able to hold both.
Mm-hmm. My dad is really good.
Yeah.
And so is my mom. My mom and I, we can kind of like trigger each other a little bit more. Yeah. But I think, I mean, that's par for the course, like mother's daughter. Yeah. So like, yeah. that's yeah. just, I've never spoken to a single woman on earth that doesn't yeah. have that type of dynamic with her mom. Yeah. But we've really worked over the years to not escalate and become reactive mm-hmm. to each other, to be like much more like communicative. They teased me, which at first I got like kind of spicy about.
Yeah.
But then I was like, no, because like it is kind of funny. Like it's kind of funny yeah. that I'm just constantly like, I'm a caregiver, like and they're like, oh, Sam's a caregiver today. Like, aww. Is Sam okay being a caregiver today? But my family like relies on humor a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, you've been around Kendra and
yeah.
I.
Yeah.
I
know. You guys are really funny.
We think we're the funniest people in the world. I don't think many people would think we're funny, but we try, like that is a coping skill for yeah. our family.
Yeah.
Is kind of finding the humor and the ridiculousness.
I mean, I think you have to, given the
yeah.
marathon of taking care of your brother your mm-hmm. whole life.
Yeah. And sometimes, like, I have to – because, like, my resilience muscle is mm-hmm. really, really strong.
Yeah.
I do have to, like, bring awareness to, like, not everybody has been through a marathon that has yeah. allowed them to, like, build that.
Yeah.
And so I sometimes have, like, really high expectations of people that I need mm-hmm. to, like, bring all the way yeah. down.
Well, thank you all for listening.
Yeah. And if you can – rate, review, share, subscribe. Anything that you can do to get the word out would mean the world to us.
We'll see you next week.
Bye.